Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour on this now September the 12th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, but still September 11th, 2009 on the West Coast of the United States. We'd also like to welcome all those that may be listening to the show, either live or on a rebroadcast archive on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and on blogtalkradio.com. Shout out to all the military around the world that are listening in tonight. We're going to talk about some pretty important things. I sure hope you pay attention to the beginning of the show. Normally, I have a comment to make before I bring my guest on, if I make any comment at all. However, tonight, I'm going to invite my guest here, so he can listen in on what I'm about to share with you. And I did a little bit of rabbit hole excavation, we'll say, this evening after reading this article that I'm going to share with you. And we really need to address this issue. This is not a small issue here. We already know, especially those of us that read on the internet, the subversive tactics that are being used by secret organizations, not so secret by name, but certainly how they operate and infiltrate our governments around the nation. And I did some digging, and I'm finding some really interesting things. I'm sure hoping that this is something that you can sink your own investigative teeth into. With that, before I actually go into the specific topic that I just mentioned, tonight's guest is my regular guest on Fridays. Since Evident Footprint started, I think we moved him off of Tuesdays originally when he was appearing on the show at the beginning of the work week, and that was pretty taxing on him, yet we did three-hour broadcasts back then. And he's been on every Friday, except I think two, and one was when he was really away and couldn't get near a phone, and the other time was last week when we had Mark and Heather Lawrence on talking about the travesty of Heather's school suspension because she had asked another student to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Our regular guest is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, and he is our honorary resident science advisor on Evident Footprints, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Yes, Don, thank you for that glowing introduction.
I don't know. Was it really glowing?
I'm certainly interested after that huge buildup to hear what it is that you that you're going to read to us. It must be something of a really unusual nature.
Well, I regularly get some articles. I don't recall signing up for these, but I've been getting them anyway. And sometimes I read them and sometimes I don't. But this one's pretty interesting. It's written by Jim Corey, who is the national president of a collective of chief of police that are, I would say, they're probably a little bit more right-wing than they are left-wing, but certainly they're interested in getting to the truth. Jim writes for a number of publications. He's got his own website. This article was found on theexaminer.com, and he actually wrote this for the Law Enforcement Examiner. The date is September 11th, and it was posted at 7:31 p.m., to be exact. I'm going to read the first couple of paragraphs from this, then I'm going to share some research that I did following up on this. And I quote, following several incidents covered by new media sources such as Fox News Channel, talk radio, internet journalists and bloggers, the U.S. Census Bureau severed its ties with Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, otherwise known as ACORN, a community organization suspected of corruption and voter registration fraud. Quote, inside the article, we do not come to this decision lightly, Census Director Robert Groves wrote in a letter to ACORN sent to the Examiner by U.S. Congressman Patrick Patrick McHenry, Republican from North Carolina. 4 months, I have continually pressured the Bureau to protect the integrity of the 2010 census and end its relationship with ACORN. For months, the Bureau shamefully defended this criminal enterprise affiliated with the Democratic Party, said Representative McHenry. When I met with Director Groves immediately following his confirmation, he promised me that the status of ACORN as a national partner would be reviewed. I applaud Director Groves for having the courage to do the right thing. I'm sure there are those in the Obama administration who will not be happy with Director Groves' decision. But it comes as welcome news to the public and all who seek an accurate and apolitical census. McHenry's reference to President Barack Obama's administration stems from the fact that Obama once worked as an organizer and attorney for ACORN. During his presidential campaign, Obama was successful in using thousands of ACORN activists to help his White House run. It is clear that ACORN's affiliation with the 2010 census promotion has caused sufficient concern in the general public, has indeed become a distraction from our mission, and may even become a discouragement to public cooperation, negatively impacting 2010 census efforts, Groves wrote in his letter to ACORN. Now, I could go on reading. If you want to go read that, go to the examiner.com. I'm not going to give out the whole address. It's quite long. Just look for the article, Corruption, ACORN Gets Boot from U.S. Census Bureau. Obama silent about emerging scandals. Now, you've got to ask yourself, what are some of the scandals? Well, we've heard that ACORN has been moved into the White House. If that is true, and ACORN also received $5 billion of funding from the federal government, this should raise a red flag. Jim, I'd like you to respond to that before I go into my research.
Well, as you know, politics is not my forte, but I don't think you have to be overly bright to realize that when organizations that have nothing or should have nothing to do with the general functioning of the U.S. government are relocated into the White House, especially when they have had a prior association with the incumbent president during his campaign efforts, it certainly smells peculiar. And, you know, there's a lot of other things that have been going on in that vein, slowly over the years, so not only with this guy, but with Clinton and with the Bushes. It really makes you wonder just how much they are trying to transform the government and into what. But anyway, I think that I would like to hear what you have to say, because you're probably more informed on that issue than I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, I discovered that the parent or holding company for ACORN is a company called CCI. CCI stands for Citizens Consulting Incorporated. Now, I've been able to look at some what you would call Secretary of State type of incorporation papers. Now, I haven't seen all the documents. Some of them are hidden, I haven't had enough time. This is sort of last-of-the-minute research that I did tonight before the show, within an hour before tonight's show. And I have something here that's worth looking at. Citizens Consulting, Inc., 2609 Canal Street, Legal Department, New Orleans, Indiana, 70119. The county is Orleans Parish. Status active, type nonprofit, foreign corporation. Incorporation state, Louisiana. Now here we've got an address where the legal department's in New Orleans, Indiana, and the incorporation state is Louisiana. Statute, and I've got numbers here and all that. I won't give those out, but if anyone's really interested, send me an email and I'll share that with you. Statute, Indiana Nonprofit Corporation Act of 1991, filing 7/27/1979. Where was Obama then? Was he claimed he was at Occidental College? Okay, just a quick question. At the officer data for the corporation is in Indianapolis, Indiana. National Registered Agents, Inc. And they're at 320 North Meridian Street. And do a white pages search on that address, and you'll come up with some interesting names. The president of the organization, as of January 3rd, 2008, was Mildred Brown in Washington, D.C., and it's got the what appears to be the corporate address as well as an apartment address. Then there's a Michael Jones, 1024 Elysian Fields Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. The president, starting date, 2/16, that's February 16th, 2009, at 523 West 15th Street, Little Rock, Arkansas. This is a foreign corporation registered in all of these states as a nonprofit corporation, by the way. Then there's a Paul Satriano, secretary, 2360 Cottage Drive, apartment 54, North St. Paul, Minnesota. Now, as I go through this document, I don't want to bore the people, but there are a lot more names. This is registered with the Secretary of State. The registered agent in Pennsylvania is in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Several people there. Obviously, they have an office there. And I didn't look up Johnstown, but I would venture to guess it's real close to Philadelphia. Then there's one, Dewey Armstrong in Miami, Florida. Arlene Kimada in Oakland, California. Wow, we're getting close to San Francisco, you see. And the financial ties that I made in my Three Stooges research. All of these are under Citizens Consulting, Incorporated. We've got more registered, national registered agents in St. Paul, Minnesota. We also have another address. Let's see. The legal is at 2609 Canal Street, New Orleans, Louisiana. Good standing, nonprofit corporation. And then when you go through a little bit more research on this, you come up with something kind of interesting. They have a listing for what is called WLA Mart Organizing. WAL Mart actually is an intentional misspelling of Walmart Organizing. And guess where their address is? It's 1024 Elysian Avenue, the address that I gave out just a little while ago. So Walmart Organizing, with 5 to 9 employees, has an annual income as of the date that these papers were filed of, get this, $2.5 million. Now you wonder, this money is being collected and it's being sent to a foreign company? And that foreign company is the parent company of Acorn and is in the White House. What the hell is going on here, people? Jim, any comment?
Well, it's like I started to say before, you know, it's pretty obvious to me that nothing smells right anymore. But before I continue with my immediate feelings, what is the nature of the foreign company? Do they shed any light on that?
Well, certainly they're not going to do this within the document itself. You know, they've been able to get this foreign corporation. What's interesting here now is one of the filings says foreign for profit, home state Louisiana, foreign for profit. Where is that country? What country are we talking about? I would suspect it might be China, actually, on the basis of this Walmart organizing. Now, I've had attorney Carl Pearson on the show a number of times, and he has gone to court against Walmart because Walmart has this tendency to go into small towns and basically threaten to take the business to another locale right next to the one that they offer first. In other words, they go where they want to set up the business. And if they balk at it, they say, well, you know, we'll go to the next town over. They've expressed an interest. And they stay in business by undercutting even manufacturing costs of the products. If anyone in the United States wants to do business with Walmart, they have to undersell their products. They have to actually sell their products at a loss. To me, that's absolute insanity. And then they're marked up to a point where they may be a couple of cents under the regular retail prices, but their margin of profit is expanded because of the way they set this up. And they go in literally, according to what Carl's described even on the show, they go into these towns and strong arm these people. Now, I can associate this by the addresses and the misleading documents because they intentionally, you know, Walmart's actually hyphenated, WAL-MART. And they intentionally spell it together with no hyphen, WLAMART. Now tell me that that's not fraud right there, representing who they are. But you can Google Walmart organizing and you can find something. Manta, for instance, has a sheet on that. And that's where I got the data on what they state their income is. I doubt if that's an accurate statement. And also you can Google the address that I gave out in the state of Indiana, in Indianapolis, 320 North Meridian. And look at who's registered there. You can get a whole bunch of names of who's actually working for them. Very, very interesting information. That's a rabbit hole that I'm going to go down again, except I think I'm going to have to put on a wetsuit and take a gas mask down there with me. So, go ahead, Jim. I'm finished with that for the time being.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but there's so much subversive activity and so much treasonous activity going on, not only in the United States in general, but in the halls of government. It's obvious. I mean, that's just one little thing. You've uncovered something that's probably important, but I guarantee you it's the tip of the iceberg. And this erosion has been going on for 100 years. And, you know, when the day comes that the axe falls and all of this gets, well, I was going to say cut off, but the truth of the matter is it'll be impeded, but it won't be extinguished because it's going to take a lot of years, you know, to ferret out all of the criminals that are associated with all of this subterfuge and eliminate them. But the point is, I think that the American people are going to be astonished to find out just how deeply they've been infiltrated and just how much corruption and negative intent has been designed into these systems. Acorn is just one. I'll bet you there's hundreds of them.
Sure. Sure. And, you know, there's even the name Ayers there. Which I find it's not William Ayers, but there's an Ayers at that address in Indianapolis. Is that coincidence? Maybe. It's not the most common of names. But certainly, when I consider the fact that Representative Joe Wilson yelled out, "You lie," and now is being asked to apologize for that during Obama's address to the Congress and the Senate, I find it rather ironic that now somebody has to apologize for telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know? Really. I mean, that's what it is. They're so embarrassed about having to confront the fact that they and the media have totally ignored the corruption that's going on. And I mean totally have ignored it. Let's say as far as releasing the information, they're all part of it. So they haven't ignored it in that respect. They are part of it. They're contributing to it and benefiting from that corruption. It's just an endless stream of disinformation and outright lying. I listened to that speech that he made, and I didn't hear one honest statement. Literally, I didn't hear one honest statement. And everybody's saying, "Oh, it was a great speech." It was neuro-linguistic programming. It was brainwashing, and there wasn't a bit of truth in anything he said. They lied about the very bill that was published on the internet in its great specificity about the plan to give senior citizens beyond a certain age a rapid form of assisted suicide. And then he had the audacity to say that's not true, that was a bogus charge. He's actually stealing my use of the word bogus. It's all over the Three Stooges Go to Washington. Obviously, he's read it. And so that's his way of countering my research? Come on. Come on, people, wake up. And if you haven't read that article, go to directlightproductions.com, click on articles, and click on the Three Stooges Go to Washington, and read it. Please, read it. There are plenty of people who have read it that are thanking me for exposing the truth once and for all about this charade that they've been playing for how many years now. You know, you've got infiltrators in the government. Infiltrators. Hope you get the meaning of the word. Wow. You know, you can tell that I'm passionate about this, Jim, and just fed up with the spin.
Well, you should be. But you know what's really ironic? Jumping back to the issue that you just mentioned about the senator making that claim that Obama's a liar. The most amazing thing about that whole thing is to watch the faces of the vice president and Polani, who are behind the president.
You mean,
and they look
Pelosi.
Totally shocked and abashed by that comment. And it's like you have the audacity to say something of that nature in these hallowed halls of government. And it couldn't be any more corrupt.
Yes.
It just amazed me that they could even have that reaction, you know?
I think it was on a show with you some time ago that I brought out the phone call that I was conferenced into when an acquaintance called the DNC. This is when Howard Dean was the head of the DNC, Democratic National Committee. And the receptionist who had been questioned about speaking to Howard Dean told us that he was busy and couldn't come to the phone at the moment. What is the issue? My friend was incensed, and he brought up the issue that the proper papers weren't filed, and how could they be, you know, committing this travesty? And the woman said, "Oh, that's been handled already in court." This was in the beginning of October 2008, before the election, of course, and. I'm thinking to myself, what trial in court? How was that handled in court? Who handled that? She wouldn't give us any information. When he pressed for the issue, she finally just slammed the phone down. That's how they do business, okay? Now the actual documents with the extracted text of the constitutionality requirements have been extracted from those documents, you see. They're posting them on the internet that, and Nancy Pelosi, who you just mentioned, I think you said Polanyi, but that might have been a Freudian slip there. Pelosi signed the documents, and they took the text out, but the text was in the state documents. So you have an issue here of constitutionality that was purposely left out. They're just tearing they're putting the Constitution through a paper shredder by doing that, is what they're doing. And now the truth comes out about that, so that there's definitely a constitutional argument, ID, driver's license, or not. Forget about the certificate of live birth. I don't think they give those out in test tube labs. So don't expect to get one. So you know, I mean, it's just an endless stream of just play inside the box, play inside the matrix. And it's like the box has been constructed, but it's got four walls that are made of opposing vices. You know, when you're turning the handle on a vice and you can see the teeth of the vice coming closer and closer together.
Yeah.
And you've got two sets of vices now, you know, and they're closing that box tighter and tighter and tighter. And you and I want to talk about getting out of the box and coming to a realization about who we really are as individuals. Stop holding on to this concept of, well, you know, we have to get this back and we have to get that back. They've destroyed it. What part of the economic system do you want to revive? It is, as long as most of us have been on this planet, we have been under the subjugation of a fiat money system and a usury credit system that belongs to a foreign entity. So how, what aspect of that do you want to revive? We have to create something new, and this is about tapping into the source that created us. And that's what we've been talking about last Monday when Jim was on this show, and the Friday a week before that. So Jim, I want to turn the mic over to you and let you talk about this aspect. And I'm going to interject from time to time as I usually do. So have at it.
Well, there's one thing that I think is a very important issue. I don't think we touched on it previously in any depth, although I know the word came up quite frequently. The word is responsibility. You know, this whole thing of taking back the country and turning it into a republic again instead of into a Nazi entrenchment is something that's going to take a lot of effort and a lot of sincerity, a lot of dedication, and it's going to require the assumption of responsibilities that for a lot of people have been totally shirked. And I think that this is going to be one area where there's going to be a lot of resistance, because without the fiat money system and all the crooked laws, there is going to be a great pressure, if you want to call it that, to either reduce or eliminate the concept of welfare. And that's not going to sit well with the people that are on the receiving end of it, some of whom have been there for four and five generations and are proud of their status. But the thing that we have to remember is this term responsibility is really, really important. Everybody has to pull their own weight if you really want to get this country back to the way it was designed to be. And in order to do that, you can't be relying on somebody else. You have to make a contribution of some sort. You have to do something that's productive and that adds to the general good. Now, most people are so comfortable with the concept of welfare programs that they don't even stop to consider what they really imply. Now, if I'm working at a job and the government takes money from my pocket against my will and uses it to support some family that I don't have any connection with, that means that literally I am working for another man, for another person's benefit. And I don't know if you people realize it or not, but that's called slavery. And it's rampant right now. It's to the point where it's unbelievable. And if you think that this insane health care program that's being advocated is going to be some sort of a miraculous contribution to our general welfare, you're sadly mistaken, because what it's going to do is increase the percentage of slavery, if you want to call it that, that we have to endure. It'll just be that much more that we have to support other people. Now, the problem with all of this, of course, is that you don't have anything to say about it, which is the reason why it becomes a system akin to slavery. Now, the right way to do this whole thing about supporting needy people and whatnot, and I'm not talking about the ones that have been milking the system for years. I'm talking about people that are truly in need, people with physical disabilities or retarded individuals or people that have been hurt in an accident and have no recourse. That's not something that the government should do. We're just used to hearing that because you've been brainwashed into it. But in the old days, who used to do that? I'll tell you, it used to be neighborhood organizations, particularly churches, neighborhood groups, and people that deliberately wanted to help other people. When you say, I want to contribute, and you reach into your pocket and pull out some money and put it towards a particular cause, that's no longer slavery. That's love of fellow man. That's an indication of the fact that you want to do this. Nobody's forcing you to do this. And that's where this country's really got to wake up. You know, these are issues which are going to cause a lot of commotion, and they're obviously sensitive issues because some people are so entrenched in the welfare system, they're not going to know what to do. Well, you know what? That's too bad. I don't mean to sound harsh or heartless, but the fact of the matter is the people who are supporting you are contending with the reality of finding a way to make a living. Why should you be exempt from that? The whole purpose of America was not to ensure a free lunch. It was to give people the opportunity to excel. And that has been taken away. And it's been replaced by this entire artificial facade that has to do with setting up these opposing forces that allow political leverage on the one hand and reduce the amount of financial freedom that we enjoy on the other hand. Because the harder you have to work for a buck, they know that that's less time you're going to have to think and ponder. And the last thing that they want is to have enlightened citizens who are capable of individual thought. Don't you agree, Don?
Absolutely. You see, the essence of all of this that you're describing and what we've talked about on past shows and what we will probably reiterate to some extent tonight is this matrix or this series of programs that actually get handed down to us and become hereditary issues. You tend to take on the things that you eat and assimilate them. And if you're eating healthy, holistic foods, you're going to have a healthy, holistic body, likely free from disease. And when you eat the altered foods, altered through the various types of alchemy or alchemical processes that they're put through, with the additives and the toxins and the poisons, and there are going to be some out there, oh, no, they don't put poison in the food. How can you make such a claim? Well, aspartame is one such claim. It's rat poison with a fancy name. And they put names like NutraSweet or Equal or, you know, whatever those products are called. I don't use them. But all of those aspartame products are rat poison. And they attack the nervous system. You wonder why people who are using that under the pretense of being on a diet are sick and come down with all sorts of diseases. This is the kind of attack there is on your body and on your mind to keep you from doing what is natural, and that's your connection with the Creator, connecting the heart center with the Creator, and where all the truth, all the light, all the love that anyone could ever need comes to you, and you can give back. You can give that back to the universe. And the grid lines have already been set up and established, and each person, as they're born, automatically connects to those grid lines of that higher dimension, that higher aspect of who we really are. We're not our bodies, and we're not our minds, yet everything that we experience in this realm, in this 3D construct, which many call the prison planet, is based on programming. Everything is a program. A TV program, a radio program. You notice I call mine a show. And I use that word. I chose that word because I'm showing things. I'm not programming. And the intent to rebuild the Federal Reserve or to rebuild the economic system using the same principles is nothing but another program. So we go from one program to another. We get out of it a little bit, or the program fails. They create another program. They're always modifying the program or using a technique which is called social engineering. They're creating society by creating these microscopic changes that you don't notice unless you're really paying attention to each step. Now, once you've achieved that certain level of consciousness to recognize from outside the box that is what is going on, and that's all they intend to do, is keep us programmed where you have to do this or else there's a fine. It's always about money, isn't it? You have to say this. If you don't say this and you say this, there's a fine or there's imprisonment or even more than that, they'll take you out. They'll disappear you, or they'll imprison you. They'll put you someplace where people can't find you. Because they're that desperate to hide their secrets. See, the secrets are what is hidden in the veils of the program. It's the part of the language that belongs to the administrator. If you think of it as a computer program, the administrator has all the access codes to get in there and modify the program or add somebody to it or take someone out of it or modify how the program works. And until you have that authority, you're left in the dark. Well, they've created a society based on that, and they're actually using computers and computer software to predict what they're going to do. All we have to do to claim our responsibility is make that connection from the heart to the Creator. It's as simple as that. And you can do it through prayer, you can do it through talking, you can do it through meditation, you can do it through reading works that nurture the soul. And may teach you some things about yourself, because I'm not the only one saying this, Jim, and neither are you. There are lots of people out there saying it, but for some reason, everyone that's concerned about what's going on isn't really seeing for real what's going on. They're seeing the illusion, aren't they?
Well, that's true. They are. But you know what's interesting, Don? According to my connections, and I bet you've heard this too, other countries who are looking at us from the outside see this whole setup very clearly, and they are totally astonished at the stupidity and the low level of consciousness that is possessed by the American public. They can't understand why they're not waking up. Now, you know, what's happening is that the U.S. is becoming an island. And you know, there's a lot of people that in other countries in positions of power that have already made the decision that they're just not going to abide by this fiat financial system. And if the U.S. doesn't want to change, they'll be ignored, and they're going to go around the U.S. and bunch together to form something new on their own. And that's going to leave this country in one amazingly precarious predicament. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see the hallmarks of that effect before the end of this fiscal year. Because once there's no exchange of wealth with other countries, this fiat system has nothing to stand on except their printing presses. And I know darn well they're running overtime right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, the mathematically, that means that with every dollar that's printed, we inch closer and closer to the to that magic point on the curve where the inflation becomes exponential. And once we reach hyperinflation, my friend, you know, when you have to spend, you know, $18 for a toothpick, it really will open your eyes. So let's hope that we don't get to that point.
Well, now at the same time, what you say is true. Now I also know from having spent quite a bit of time in foreign countries that the people there, and I have many friends around the world, the people there were under some sort of government oppression, and they certainly are in Europe with the European Union. You basically have another Federal Reserve there with the European Union.
That's absolutely true, and I agree with you. I was referring more to nations like Russia and China. Now, Russia has been all through this. They know exactly what we're up against. And they have actually warned the U.S. not to go down the socialistic path. But, you know, people in Washington have their own agenda, and we're not resisting. So what do you expect?
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, not in the mass, not in the numbers that we would hope, but that doesn't mean that there can't be any change in this, you know, this out of balance situation. I mean, that's what the creation is about. That's where the laws of nature and the laws of the universe come into play, that we can try to interfere with nature, and we certainly have destroyed most of it here on this planet, but the planet has a way, it has its consciousness, it is receptive to the impulses and the information coming to it from elsewhere in the universe, that it's not going to wait for us to catch up. We either catch up on our own, under our own free will. We don't need a government. You don't need a minister in your church to lead you there. And I say that because most religious organizations are just extensions of the corrupt political system and operate just like organized crime. Anyone that's disillusioned with an organized church, many people have tried many churches and found that it's the same problem everywhere. Well, that's because there was never the intention on God's part to have a middleman between me or you or the next guy. You can talk to God directly, and God can talk back to you. God will respond to you, but you have to acknowledge it. You have to put that into action. That's that word responsibility that we're talking about. You are responsible for yourself. Certainly, the government doesn't give a darn about you right now, or you would have the things you need. Those of you out of work would have a job. Those of you who are sick and don't get medical attention, it's not necessarily because it's not available to you. It's at the prices that they're at, or that the danger of taking the medications that they put out is going to make you sicker. And it's in their own admission of the side effects of the things they create. Boy, they had a new drug recently that I can't even think of the side effects, but it was so ridiculous. Why would anyone want to even risk undergoing those side effects for for a little bit of calm in their life. There are ways, natural ways to produce peace in your life without paying anybody any money. But you have to take the responsibility. We have become so dependent on the programming within the program, you know, the codes, the language in it, that the majority of us are helpless without someone holding us by the hand and saying, well, look, you know, you want to walk down the street here. The way a person walks is you take your left foot and you lift it up and you place it in front of you. And the rest of your body, if it's still connected, will sort of follow. Let your arm swing a little bit, get a little leverage going, get a little motor motion going, and move forward. But no, everybody has to have somebody to tell them to start, to walk up to the starting line. And how it's done, you know, people have become so dependent. Really, it's almost like we're a society of imbeciles.
Oh, for sure. I agree with you. You know, where this is most prevalent and should be easiest to see is in the medical field. People do not take any responsibility whatsoever for their own health and are totally ignorant of the functions of their body, the whole issue of nourishment, you know, all of these things which were taken for granted years ago, that it was a form of normal training. A perfect example of this is, I think I mentioned this to you in a private conversation, I have a friend who recently discovered that he has cataracts forming in his eyes. So he mentioned this to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor said, oh, don't worry about it. He said, the minute that they bloom and you can't see anymore, we'll just pop them out and stick some plastic lenses in there, and off you go. And, you know, 99.9% of the people will say, without even thinking, will say, oh, good, thank God, I don't have to worry about it. Well, I don't want my eyeballs cut up with somebody's scalpel so that they can go and put man-made lenses in there. So if it was happening to me, I would run around like a madman, do my own research, and find out if there are any alternative methods. And it turns out that the Russians, of all people, have developed an eye drop which literally counteracts the formation of cataracts as long as they're not too far along. Naturally, you never hear about this in the U.S., and the fact that most people don't take the responsibility to look into their own welfare, look into their own solutions for problems, and simply rely on the doctors, who, I might add, are part of the system, they're part of the matrix. Imagine somebody just telling you, don't worry, we'll just pop them out of there. Well, I mean, you know, that's such an attitude that it's revolting to me. I mean, the original function of a doctor, especially after having taken the Hippocratic Oath, is to keep your health and your best interest at heart in every decision that they make. Now, if you can cure cataracts with a $50 bottle of special drops that come from Russia, as opposed to undergoing high-risk surgery of opening your eyeballs and exposing completely sterile environment to all kinds of God only knows what, so that you can receive plastic lenses, and I might add, the rejection rate, the infection rate, and the secondary effects of undergoing that type of operation are well known to be horrendous. Not to mention the fact that most people that get these operations die within 5 to 10 years. Isn't that an interesting statistic? So, what I'm getting at is that the right way to approach this whole thing would be to look at it from the standpoint of what's best for the individual, not what's best for the doctor's income. Now, I admit that a lot of doctors who are so ingrained in the system, you know, are probably believing themselves that there are no alternatives, and that surgery is your best bet. And that's unfortunate because they themselves have been victimized and are no longer thinking. There's always an explanation. Now, as it turns out, cataracts are caused by oxidation. The aqueous humor becomes acidic and literally attacks the material of the lens in the eye until a reaction occurs and you get hazing. It's no different than pouring hydrofluoric acid on a piece of clear glass and turning it into frosted glass. That's what's happening. Well, that in itself is traceable back to a very, very improper diet. Because if the pH of your aqueous humor was correct, you wouldn't have cataracts to begin with. So the whole thing just cycles around and comes back to the fact that we're not living natural lives. People are not taking responsibility for what they need to do for themselves. And we're relying on agents of the system who are so programmed that most of them don't realize that there are alternatives or natural solutions. How many doctors in the modern world know anything about nutrition? You'll be astonished to find out none of them do. Because they're not taught that in medical school. They're taught which pill to push. And that's a sad state of affairs, Don.
Yeah, and think now, let's say the surgery was successful, but just to deal with the pain and the discomfort and the healing process, what does the doctor do? Prescribe more drugs. So you're going to develop liver trouble, or you're going to develop diabetes or heart problems, shortness of breath, restless leg syndrome. I had to throw that in there. And diarrhea, constipation, just a myriad of problems that no one is accountable for because they've lobbied our representatives, what a farce that is. They've lobbied our representatives, given them vacations, given them secret bank accounts, offshore, tax-free, private parties, jets, all kinds of fringe benefits that remain secret until they're discovered and exposed, and then nobody does anything about it. It's just assumed to be the regular order of business. The corruption that supports this is rampant everywhere, and they treat these people like gods. They treat them like gods, and really, they really believe they are gods. They're playing God with humanity, with people's lives. They've turned everybody into a guinea pig. And I resent it, and I know that many in the holistic medical community resent it, and you've got items being sold as holistic products, legitimate foods, legitimate herbs that have healing powers, or if nothing else, they just maintain a stable immune system and the body does its own work, which it was created to do, to be able to do. And they'll go after all of those people that market those items. They'll raid a fruit farm or vegetable farm in LaGrange, Ohio, go in there and hold the whole house full of kids and the parents at gunpoint while they destroy the fields, and then they'll turn around and they'll put a drug on TV that makes one's penis larger. And there's nothing done about that. That's okay. You see, it fits into the program. It fits into paying attention to the negative aspects of your body that keep you from knowing who you are, to keep you from operating from the heart center and getting in touch with your real self, which is not your body and it's not your mind, but is comprised of light in the form of a spirit that has the ability to travel through the universe on its own. And it's constantly knocking at your door for you to wake up and take responsibility. And really, all that entails is listening. Because if you talk to God and ask God what you should do, and you really listen, God will tell you what to do. The universe will respond. The universe was designed that God doesn't even have to pay attention. The universe automatically responds to you. What you put out, it gives back to you. It sends it back immediately. And it doesn't just send it in little dribbles, it'll send it thousandfold. But no, it's much easier to leave the TV on, get in the van, take the kids to soccer practice, hang out at the bar, get drunk, come home, break out your bag of potato chips and your six pack of beer and plop there till you collapse and do the whole thing over the next day. That's what life is to most people in this country and in many places on the planet. It's not exclusive to American society. There are all kinds of ways that people try to demean the others, but the whole thing is we're all in this maze, or this matrix. We're all in it. And those that created it are in it. And you know what? We can get out of it, and they'll still be in it. Just because they've created it. You see, we can create something new, something empowering, something far beyond what they could ever imagine doing with all their evil. And we wouldn't have to rob and steal and plunder and rape and pillage. We wouldn't have to do it through perversion. Go ahead, Jim. I know you want to say something.
I just wanted to say you left one out, and I said, and murder.
Well, I wasn't finished, but you wanted to say something, so you said it for me. You know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. It really is. Why, if what they're doing is so great, why does it have to be secret? Think, people. Why do they have to keep secrets from us? Is it something that we're just not entitled to know because we have the wrong blood type? Is it because we're not reptilians ourselves? You know? Is it because we are a threat to them and the God that we trust and follow and know is a threat to them? Absolutely. Absolutely. Ultimately, that's the answer. That's the bottom line. I mean, this crap's going on all over the universe. This is not the only place. But they attack the truth teller with liars. They themselves lie in front of us. We just saw it 2 days ago on TV. And the one person that yelled the truth, "You lie," is being reprimanded for having said the truth. Uh-uh. Not here. I pass the mic to you, Jim.
Well, you know, that's actually the status quo in a lot of areas, though. It's not just the fact that particular senator had the audacity to speak his mind in the hallowed halls of government. It happens everywhere. I mean, there are scientists who come out, for instance, against this vaccine intent. I was just reading an article today about the fact that the statistics are starting to accumulate already in Europe, where apparently they're already using various forms of these antiviral injections. And the ratio is approximately 25 to 1. People who are injected, 25 will succumb to problems associated with the vaccine, whereas the ones who are not injected are actually doing better. And it's a known fact that whatever this virus is that they're claiming is a pandemic has diluted itself. In following the natural course of things, even though it's a man-made thing, we already know that. It's now much less intense than it was before, and most people are surviving with very little trouble. A couple of days of bed rest, you know, eating the proper foods and taking it easy and doing all the normal things you do in the flu season. Whereas the ones who are taking these injections are having terrible problems. And one of the reasons for it is, and this is an old trick, when you inject something into the body and bypass the normal avenues that it normally would take to enter you, like, for instance, your nose, your throat, your lungs, the skin, you know, those normal ways that things get into your system, the results are very, very different because initially, you have you have immune responses even in the mucosa of the nasal passages and the throat and other areas like that, which will attack an invading virus or bacteria before the main immune system of the body is even aware that there is an invasion. But when you inject something directly into the bloodstream, what happens is that you begin, the invasion is so intense that the main immune system is fired up and overreacts, and it creates antibodies and antigens to these invading elements, whatever they may be. And in a lot of cases, if it happens to involve a natural product of the body, it will seek that out molecule by molecule and destroy it, which is the reason why we have so many autoimmune problems. You know, it's a well-known fact, and I don't know how many people know this, but I might as well throw it in here, that you can murder a person simply by making a cellular culture of any extract from any organ in his body and injecting it into the bloodstream. But if you take a cellular extract from the liver, for instance, and you culture it and then inject it into the bloodstream, the reaction is so potent that the antibodies that are created will attack and destroy the liver and kill the person. And to anybody on the outside who doesn't know that he had the injection of his own cells, it'll appear like some form of cancer or some sort of liver degeneration. And this is the mechanism that's being used in the in this preparation for this antiviral vaccine. They have substance in there which is essentially a natural oil that's found in the body. I've forgotten the name of it. You mentioned it earlier, Don.
Squalene. That's squalene.
Squalene, yes. Squalene is actually something that occurs in the body, and it's distributed all through the body as an oil. And as long as it's sitting where God intended it to be, it's totally benign. But if you add that to a vaccine as an accelerant, and you allow it to be injected into the main part of the body where the immune system reacts to it, it'll seek out and destroy all this stuff, no matter where it is in the body, and this causes massive disorders in the nervous and brain system in the brain. Now, tell me it's an accident. Go ahead and tell me that the people who have the wherewithal to design these vaccines are just doing this by happenstance. It's impossible.
Yes, and you know,
how can you do it by accident?
Yeah, Jim, as we're talking about the Matrix and the programming and the relationship to computers, you know, they worked all of this stuff out with Verity's virtual computer system. And I've got an email from somebody pretending to be anti-vaccination. You know, it's from somebody affiliated with UNIVAC. It's probably Sperry Rand or Remington Rand, who bought the Universal Automatic Computer System many years ago. And IBM, who I released a document on, where they reveal the intent to release a pandemic within 5 years from the publication date of 2006. These people are trying to find out who my source is and what my feelings are about it. Well, listen to my radio show, you idiot. Send me an email with a phony name, and I track this guy down. And you know what? The first document that I bring up on the internet says microbiology at the top. You think I got the right guy? What are the odds of me doing that? Okay? And I don't say that out of braggadocio. I'm saying there comes a point when you see the truth, it's very easy to find more truth, especially when you know their game is a very childlike game. We're dealing with mental midgets here. Really. They're very evil. It's their evil nature that gives them the power that they have, and the fact that they twist language and they twist their own illusions they keep them changing all the time, so people can't really catch on to what's going on. The average person can't. But they run these programs through their virtual computers, and they do the same thing with these vaccines. This is what my research has uncovered as well. It's known that they can do the sequences with computers. They do the same thing with the genome chips. Why this fascination with destroying life? Don't we see this? All these people do is destroy life. Really, they wear fancy coats and put a pen in their pocket and have their name stitched on their jacket, and they go to country clubs to have annual celebrations at Christmas time, and they go to each other's children's weddings and give expensive gifts, and they hang out at the country club, and they go out with their secretaries at lunchtime while their patients are suffering in the hospital. Pregnant women are given Pitocin to stop them from going into labor because the guy doesn't want to end his little fling with his secretary. And I say that from firsthand experience, talking to the very nurses in the hospital. So I mean, this is the type of stuff that goes on all the time. And we hold these people up like they're some kind of gods, like we really depend on them to survive, when everything they're doing is really tearing life apart, destroying it. Why doesn't that sink in?
Well, I don't know why it doesn't sink in. Of course, I'm saturated. I mean, I've been investigating this stuff for 20 some odd years, as I'm sure you have, and I was sold a long time ago. You know, that's why I'm helping spread the message here. But it's almost as if once they're a part of the system, they just rely on it. They just don't exert any effort of their own because the answers are out there for them. The problem is they're not really what they appear to be. People forget that all of this is an illusion. Most of it is fueled by lies. How is it possible that the human race survived, managed to procreate, managed to cover the entire earth with human beings for thousands and thousands of years without this ludicrous system? And there was never any problem. Sure, people got sick, people died, there were accidents, that's normal. But nobody just threw themselves at the mercy of another individual. There was a time when people actually knew a certain amount of natural medicine and relied on it. They understood the value of eating good, high-quality food, which they raised themselves, prepared themselves, and fed themselves, and thereby sustained good health. One of the illusions that's totally off the wall is the belief that you can go to some guy that has a white jacket on, and he will give you a pill, and it's the pill that cures you of something that you have. It's utter rubbish. What really happens, of course, is that if you put the right ingredients into the body, the native intelligence, the nascent intelligence of the body makes use of the materials to correct the fault, whatever it is. There are plenty of societies that don't have hospitals and all this other stuff and still have a great deal of good health. Sure, there are areas where you have real problems, but if you look into it, you also find out that those problems are caused by other men who have an agenda of their own. If it wasn't that way, how in the world would the human race have survived? You have to really use your head and stop believing all the garbage that you hear.
Yeah, well, Jim, we got to end the show here momentarily. I just want to add the comment. When we come into the shock of, and I say we, meaning, you know, mankind, comes into the indisputable reality that there is life on other planets, and that there is that there are emissaries from those planets already here, and they're going to be appearing. Many have already seen them. And as they appear here on Earth, it's going to shatter the foundations of religion. Their concern about that has always been, I'm sure, not that they care in the least about our relationship to God, because they've done everything to keep God out of our lives. But the reality that what most people have been taught about religion has been phony, and that it's all been about money, and that what they've been told about life elsewhere, because the way they present the Bible, they tell people that the only hope they have is going through that middleman, the person standing in the pulpit, collecting the money and banking the money and buying the private jets and the limousines and traveling around the world, most of the time serving his own interests. And when people have to account for their ignorance of that, because that's when responsibility will kick in. If it doesn't kick in here and they don't get it straight here, it's going to kick in on the other side. And there will be some sort of a judgment that they'll have to make. Now, when all of this comes down on us at one time, as we see this system collapsing, we do have an opportunity, do we not, to move into a higher consciousness, to create something anew, something that hasn't been spoiled by evil and corruption and perversion and murder, like you said before. You know, I'm going to give you a chance to make a closing comment on that.
Well, we do have the opportunity to do that. As a matter of fact, there are many people who have been laboring in that regard even before this collapse of the system started. And it's my fervent hope that those people who are all working in various fields towards, I would say, improvements for humanity in general, whether it be in medicine or physics or philosophy or whatever field it's in, I'm always been hopeful that the agenda is for that information to coalesce into something really wonderful and be ready in time to replace the horror story that's hopefully collapsing at this point and going to be rejected from our lives. I think that's a natural sequence of some sort, because it stands to reason that you can't dispel something that everyone's used to and expect people to step up to another level of consciousness if you don't have something better to present them with. And that's one of the reasons why there's the suppression of information, the suppression of technology, the suppression of progress. They don't want there to be another plateau for people to step up to. As long as they can keep cutting your legs off below the knees, you're always going to fall back into the system. And that's why they do what they do. But even though that effort has been going on for years, and sometimes with a vengeance, there have still been private groups, private individuals, and others who have been laboring in the light with the hope of being able to present something better when the time comes. And that's the train I want to be on. I'll tell you that right now.
Yes, and it's available to anyone, isn't it, Jim? I mean, anyone that makes that approach through their heart and makes that higher connection. This is difficult for a lot of people that have never heard this before or have never tried that experience. You know, it's something that you work at. You know, you don't say one prayer and then all of a sudden get all your prayers answered. You have to say those prayers, and there's an approach to them. Or if you're inclined to meditate, let's say you just want to connect with a higher intelligence and you're not approaching from a position of need or want, other than to lift your consciousness, you have to intend to lift it. You have to start the process somehow. So these are just two means of achieving that. Reading and studying is another. But you've got to use your discernment, and it's not something that takes place in the head. Discernment isn't a mental process. It's not memorization. And it certainly isn't just feeding yourself with something someone else tells you. You don't have to believe what I'm saying. We're not asking you. I'm not asking you to believe what I'm saying, and neither is Jim Murray. As he said, you take responsibility. You do some of the research yourself. Find out about who you are is the first thing you should do. You should really be soul-searching to know why you came here. And if you haven't gotten that answer by yourself, you should endeavor to do that. I mean, I say that as not as an admonishment, but as a suggestion. That if you're to find yourself, you've got to pay attention to yourself. And I don't mean out of ego or out of greed or out of an insatiable quest to have the attention of others. You know, this is about really connecting with something that you're that's foreign to you. And yet it is you. It is part of you. And it is all of you at the same time. And we've allowed them, through these programs, through this system, to break that connection. The preachers in the churches tell us that we're separate from God. Well, they have caused the separation. You see, the dogmatic teaching and the lies that we've been told throughout history have been embedded in our DNA, and we can change it in an instant. That's how miraculous the universe is. Once you make that connection, if you've lived 50 years, it's not going to take you 50 years to undo it.
And making that connection, Don, is a very essential part of the whole formula. Unfortunately, people have been trained by various religious institutions to recite little formulas or little sayings, and they taught that those utterings are prayers. But actually, the language of God is one that operates on a totally different level than mumbling repetitive formulas. What needs to be done is a raising of the mind and heart to the Creator, to the universe, to the divine entity, and then demonstrating your trust. Once you demonstrate the trust that you have in God, that's when things start to happen. You have to, again, take the responsibility, take the initiative. I mean, the universe is not the all-knowing, all-loving, all-serving God that we're taught. It's certainly all-powerful, and it's loving in a much broader sense than what the human understands, because part of that love necessitates that it teach and that you learn. And so if you don't cooperate, you don't get results. And, you know, it's like a reward type system. And once you extend the trust and you actually continue to go on, even though things look impossible, you extend and maintain that trust, a way will always be open to you. I don't care what the problem is, I don't care what the situation is. But that's a very, very difficult thing for people to do. Mostly people just panic when they see things going wrong, and they fall back into the system, or they consult with representatives of the system who give them the exact advice necessary to pull them back into the box. But if you can open your heart to the universe and then trust whatever impulses you get, whatever urges you get, whatever directions you get, and literally live by that, you will find that there's always a way made open to you. I mean, I'm not trying to blow my own horn, but I've done it 1,000 times, so I know what I'm talking about. And it really and truly works. And if everybody were doing that, I can tell you right now that the evil on this planet wouldn't have a chance in hell.
Yes, amen. Well said, Jim. Well, I want to thank you for your contribution to Evident Footprints this week. You were on actually Monday and Friday. That's a rarity. And, you know, I want to wish you a great weekend. We want to ask the listeners to say a prayer for Don Harkins, publisher and editor of the Idaho Observer. He's going through a life and death situation, just like what we've been talking about on the show tonight. And his family appreciates your prayer, and we're looking forward to being able to tell you that he's back to work soon in the near future. That's how much we trust that miracles can occur. So, Jim, I wish you a great weekend.
Well, thank you, Don. It's been a pleasure to work with you.
Well, same here. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, also on Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. And if you're going to listen to the show next week, I've got some great shows lined up, especially on Wednesday. We have a new guest, Pastor James David Manning. He's going to come with his boom shakalakas, and he's going to confront the long-legged Mac Daddy right here on Evident Footprints. So you're going to want to tune in next week. Great guests, great shows, and I wish everyone a great weekend. And I'm sending my prayers out for Don Harkins. I hope all of you can find a little space in your heart to do the same thing. I thank you for tuning in tonight. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.